To review a point that we learnt on Daf Ayin, if the mafkid has a shtar testifying to the fact that the object was given over, deposited in the hands of the nifkad, then the Gemara suggests that perhaps we should believe the nifkad to say hichzartiv, that I return the object, and that would be based on a migu that he could have claimed nensu. And the Gemara has a debate about this back and forth. According to one man d'yomar, we cannot believe the nifkad against the mafkid, since the mafkid is holding on to a shtar. We have a principle of shtar chabiyadi, my boy. And the question that this is on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. We saw this 2 days ago, and I was wondering, what is the counter-argument against Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy? And why would the Nifkad be believed, albeit with a Migu? And again, as we discussed at great length, the Migu has to be supported by Shvua. Why would he be believed against Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy? After all, that gives a tokef, that gives a power to the Baal HaShtar, in this case the Mafkid, of Edim, of two witnesses. And even though you'll ask, well, it doesn't say in the Shtar itself, on the at the bottom of which there are two signatures, that we, the undersigned, are testifying that the Nifkad did not return the object. After all, the Shtar only testifies that the object was given to the Nifkad. Maybe he returned it to the Mafkid. But nevertheless, you could ask the same question in general about Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy. Why is it that the Love, against the Malva who's holding on to a Shtar, is not believed to say Parativ? And if you'll answer, well, we have an Umdana, if the Love really paid back the Chov, he would have certainly taken back the Shtar. He doesn't have a Shovar, he doesn't have a receipt to testify to the fact that he paid back the Chov. And therefore, why didn't he take back the shtar? Well, that's not enough to be motzi moed mitachas yad adam hamotzi mechavrel of araya. The shtar doesn't testify that the lova did not, sorry for the double negative, the lova did not pay back. The shtar testifies that there was a matan mos, the malva gave and extended a loan to the lova. Did the lova pay back or not? The edim know nothing about that. And the answer is that Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, is so strong that it's enough to counter and undermine the argument and the claim of the Lova that he paid back. And I heard from my Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, that this is the power of a Shtar. The power of a Shtar and the scope of its edus extends way beyond what is written explicitly in the Shtar. In fact, I'm not even sure if the edim know that there was a matan mos. That's not positive either, because the Mishnah says at the end of Baba Basra that kosvin shtar lemalva, kosvin shtar lelova, afal pi shein malva imo. So the lova gets the shtar signed by two edim into his hand, and when he gets the mos, he, the lova, passes the shtar on to the malva. But that's the power of tfisas bala shtar, that the shtar could testify on behalf of the bala shtar in the most expansive way, including any question, any issue that might impinge or limit the Edus HaShtar. And here too, in the case of a Mafkid and a Nifkad, the Shtar would certainly testify on behalf of the Mafkid for any claim that the Nifkad would put forward against the Shtar, for example, Hichzartiv. And therefore we wonder why the Gemara concludes that the Nifkad would be believed to say Hechzartiv against the Shtar. Against Shtar Chabiyadcha, my boy, not as a separate Umdana, Rov, and so forth, but rather with the power of Shtar. And perhaps we can answer the following. There's a fundamental difference between Malva and Lova in a Shtar Milva, and Mafkid and Nifkad in a Shtar Pikadon. In the case of a Shtar Milva, the Shtar has within it the power to testify and expand the scope of its edus to any claim that the nitba comes up with. on a deraisa level, even if the lover would say mizuyav, the shtar is a counterfeit, he would not be believed, because of Reish Lakish's famous principle of Eidem Achsum Ashtar, Nasa Kamishan Echkere Dusum Bebezin. All right, the Rabbana required Kiyum, fine. But once there's Kiyum, now the Shtar has an infinite power to testify against any claim of the defendant, any claim of the Love. But that's not so in the case of a Shtar Pikadon. Here, it's impossible to come to the conclusion that the Mafkid, insofar as he's a Tofes Bala Shtar, the shtar has unlimited and infinite scope to testify in everything. And the proof of the pudding is that the nifkad would be believed to say, nenas, he's potter from onsen. That's true, of course, for all shomrim, with the exception of a shoel. And at that point, the shtar has nothing to say. Kuliyamalo pligi, it was never an issue that if the mafkid is holding on to a shtar, and the Nifkad says and claims Nenas, that the Nifkad is Potter, albeit with a Shvur. And the reason for that is that the Shtar has nothing to do with what eventually happened with the Pikadon. Therefore, we already have a, shall we say, a Reisa, so to speak. I don't mean a Reisa literally, but an incomplete nature of the Shtar. And that itself is mafkia, the din of tfisas balashtar, as absolute edus that would include everything, an all-encompassing status of edus biyad hamafkid. We really don't know exactly what happened to the pikadon. And now when the nifkad comes forward and he claims hechzartiv, and we say, well, the shtar is testifying that Loichzartiv, rather that the Nifkad is Chayav, that we cannot say. We cannot say that the Shtar creates absolute testimony against the Nifkad to the effect that he's Chayav, because what happened to the Bikonon? And once the Shtar is incomplete in its power of Edus Biyad HaMafkid, then we come to the conclusion that maybe the Shomer did not take back the Shtar when he returned the object. And the reason for that is that he doesn't care about the Mafkid holding on to the Shtar. Well, he doesn't care so much because he knows he has in his back pocket a Tainus Ptur of Ones. And therefore, the Shtar Chaviyot Chamai Boy here in this Sugya, on Daf Ayin Omid Beis, is limited. It's only a separate Umdana. It's not included in the scope of the Shtar, and it doesn't have the tokef, the power of Eidus. And yesterday we learned the Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph, and the Mishnah raises the question of a person who sells a field, and he says, he v'chol ma'ashe b'socha, and the Mishnah establishes that the mecher is limited, it doesn't include neither a bar, nor a gas, nor a shovach. And the Mishnah then records machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim as to whether or not the mocher has to buy back from the lokech a derech to make the shovach, the gas, and the bar accessible to him. According to the Chachamim, the ayin ra hu mocher, and therefore he left for himself, he was meshayer, not only the bar, etc., but also the derech to the bar. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says he's very magnanimous about the mecher, he sells him the entire field, including the derech, and now if the mocher wants to gain possession and rights to use the derech, he's going to have to buy back those rights from the lokeh. That's called mocher bi ayin Yofahu Mocher. The Mishnah goes on to say that there are various exceptions to the rule, and we discussed yesterday the case of Achim Shecholku. There, each one of the Achim who gets a portion of the Yerusha, he wants to get exactly what he would have inherited from his father. And that is not only the bar and the dus within that section that he was given, but also the access, the derech, to the bar and the gas and the shovach. Now, The other exception to the rule, besides Yerusha, was Matana. And in the case of Matana, we assume, even according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, that Nosein Be'ayin Yafahu, Nosein the Matana includes the Bar and the Gas as well. The last part of the Mishnah was the case of Magdish. And in the case of Magdish, the Mishnah records a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon. That's going to be the subject of our study today, Mirtz Hashem, Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. And according to the Chachamim, Magdish is also Be'ayin Yofa. And the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Akiva's principle in the case of Magdish. There's nothing pressing him or forcing him to be Magdish, like in the case of Mecher. And therefore, the Matana is broad-scoped. It's all-inclusive. So that even the Bar and the Gas and the Shovach are included in the Hekdesh and Akdosh. Rav Shimon says, no, he's Magdish, just the Karka, and nothing else. He's not Magdish, the Bar and the Shovach and the Gas, which are separate entities. And they're not included in the Hakadosh of the Sotah. The only exception is that Rav Shimon agrees in the case of Charuv HaMurkav, and in the case of Sadana Shikma, these are trees that normally have significance. So if you hold Mocher B'Ayin Ro Yofer, they're not included in the sale. But in the case of Hegdesh, Rav Shimon agrees that insofar as these are not only permanent fixtures to the Sotah, but also they serve the Sotah, they function on behalf of the Sotah, then the Hakadosha is included in the sale. And at this point, we want to introduce the Svara of Rav Huna and then analyze the Shita of Rav Shimon in greater depth. Now, Rav Huna, which is where we stopped yesterday, is of the opinion that in the case of Ilanos, even though a person, as far as Ilanos is concerned, if he sells Ilanos, you know, you might argue that HaMocher B'Ayin Yafahu Mocher, and therefore he would sell to the buyer not only the Ilanos, but he would sell the Karka underneath the Ilanos. But Rav Huna comes up with a Svara here on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph that in the case of Ilanos, certainly everybody would agree, even Rabbi Akiva, who generally holds Mocher B'Ayin Yafu Mocher, would agree that the seller retains for himself not only the Ilanos, which he explicitly mentioned, but also the Karka underneath the Ilanos. And what is the logic that compels Rav Huna to come to this very strange and original conclusion? The answer is there's a fundamental difference between Ilanos and the classical case that we discussed in the Mishnah of Bar and Dus. In the case of Bar and Dus, the Lokeach really loses nothing if he allows B'Ayin Yofa, let's say and the Lokeach has a reciprocal Ayin Yofa to the Mocher, he allows the Mocher to have access to the Bar and the Dus. He doesn't really take a loss from that. And therefore the premise is that when the Mocher sold his Sadeh, included in that sale is the derech, meaning all the karka surrounding the bar and the dus, because the mocher doesn't anticipate any friction, any counterclaim from the buyer. Hey, I'm not going to let you have access to the bar and the dus, because the buyer doesn't lose anything by granting such access. But in the cases of Huna of Ilanos, there's a much more fundamental issue at stake as far as the karka under the Ilanos. And that is the following. When the mocher retained for himself, that's called shir, the two Ilanos, what was he saying to the seller, to the buyer, excuse me? Was he telling the lokeach, look, those Ilanos are mine, as long as they're alive and well, they're flourishing, but as soon as they dry up, I no longer have these Ilanos? Or is the mocher saying to the lokeach, no, I want the ability, if need be, when the time comes, because everything withers and dies, to replace these Ilanos, and when they wither, I want to have rights to the karka below the Ilanos to plant in
you know, plant to replace a replacement tree. Says Rav Huna, that's called machish ara. And what does it mean, machish ara? Here, the lokech is going to give the mocher a very hard time. Why? Why is he going to, you know, put up his dukes and fight against the mocher? Morning. And the answer is because Ilanos, in their relationship to the Sadeh, present a problem for the buyer of the field. Because the Ilanos have branches, have roots, they need water, they need nutrients, they spread. And that's called Makhashe Ara. They take away from the Sadeh some of its potential, some of its power to produce. Therefore, the Mocher has to take into consideration that the lokech is going to be an adversary of his. You know, he's going to take him to Beis Din. He's going to say, "Look, I don't want you to replant your trees when they wither away. You know, it was bad enough that I allowed you to have these trees to produce." And that's the sheet of the Rashbam in this sugya. The Tosis has a different sheet of that. The shear of the Ilanos in the Mocher's case is limited. Completely limited to the Ilanos themselves, almost like as a piece of wood. And because of Makhishe Ara, the Lokeach should have a right to say to the Mocher, take your trees and run, just cut them down. I'm not going to even let them remain within the sod. So because of all these, you know, frictions and tensions and litigations regarding the karka underneath the Ilanos, the logic is that when the mocher retains for himself the two Ilanos, he sells the field and not the Ilanos, he retains for himself, says Rav Huna, not just the Ilanos, but also the karka below the Ilanos, which robs the lokeach of any rights to say, quote, akar Ilanach shkol vizil, take your trees and fly a kite.
So we don't know who Rav Huna is holding back. Is he holding back the rabbis?
He's telling us that there's no machlokas here in this case, that even Rabbi Akiva, who normally would apply the principle of mocher bi'ayin yafahu mocher, which means that let's minimize the shiur, and all the mocher retains for himself is the very limited two Ilanos, and Rabbi Akiva says therefore when he sells the field, he sells the bar included in the sale, and he sells the gat included in the sale, and he sells the shovach included in the sale. But not in the case of Ilanos. He's not going to give up his karka. In the case, for example, the bar, Rabbi Akiva is going to insist that even the derech he gave over to lokeh. But no, says Rav Huna, Rabbi Akiva would admit that in the case of Ilanos, it's a very unique situation. Because here we're dealing with Akhushe Ara. And when we deal with Akhushe Ara, the mocher would be very wise to obviate, to avoid this kind of pitfall in which he's stuck with having to remove his Ilanos. Because that's exactly what the buyer is going to say to the mocher. Take your Ilanos and run with them. I'm not willing to allow you to replace and replant your Ilanos because that's going to be Makhish Mayara. And therefore, the mocher has to go out of his way to calculate that when he left for himself the Ilanos, what he really was leaving for himself was not just the Ilanos, but the karka below the Ilanos. And the Gemara now is going to attack Rav Huna from Rav Shimon. Okay, and now we're on the Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. We're on the second line, and this is where we want to start today with the word Tnan. And Tnan, you have it on the second line on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. Okay, then, and what do we find in the Mishnah? We have a locus, as we saw yesterday, between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon about Magdish. It was the sheet of the Chachamim that, just like in Matana and in the case of Hefker and in the case of Yerusha, in all those cases, we assume that even the Chacham would agree, be ayin yofer, because again, there's nothing compelling him to enter into this transaction. He's not under pressure to sell his field. We're talking about a matana, for example, a gift. Even the Chachamim would agree in that case that ayin yofer, who no same, he gives a matana. What about Magdish? What about Hegdish? The Chachamim apply the same ruling to Hegdish. And therefore, when a person is magdish his field, we include within that sale, according to the Chachamim, everything. That means including the shovach and the gas and the bar, everything's included in the hegdish. So hegdish now become the proud owners of everything in the field, anything that's shaykh to the field. Rabbi Shimon on the other hand, Omer, Hamagdish es hasode, lo higdish ela charuv hamurka v'sadan hashikma. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, the rule of b'ayin rahu mocher applies even to the case of hegdish.
It's like a sale.
And in that sense, it's like a sale, which means that the magdish retains for himself the bar, the shovach, and the gas. However, although in part magdish b'ayin rahu yofa, but in part although partially magdish is b'ayin rahu magdish according to Reb Shimon, but he does agree there's some overlap between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim in magdish, as not as far as bar, gat, and shovach, but at least as far as these kinds of very significant ilonos. And the reason for that is because these ilonos are not only a permanent fixture of the sadeh, but for some other reason. And that's where the Gemara is going to analyze. Meaning, what is the reasoning of Reb Shimon? Why does Reb Shimon make the following distinction? As far as bar, gat, and shovach is concerned, magdish b'ayin rahu magdish. And these items, even though they're permanent fixtures in the field, are not included in the hegdish. But as far as these ilanos, which normally, when we apply the principle of ayin rah, are not included, there's a shiur, because these are very significant trees that people want to hold on to, and they become a separate entity, not included in the shem sada, but they have a shem ilan bifnei atzmo. Here, Reb Shimon is very magnanimous on behalf of the Magdish and protecting the rights of Hegdish, and he assumes and he admits to the Chachamim b'ayin yofu Magdish. So Reb Shimon here is a kind of a hybrid that has to be understood. And that's where the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and we're going to see from this Braisa that Reb Shimon, in the case of Ilanos, vis-a-vis Hegdish, comes up with a brand new principle. That even though a magdish might be magdish b'ayin ra, nevertheless he gives up his rights to these ilanos. That's where the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa now with a brand new understanding. And that brand new understanding of Reb Shimon offered by this Braisa is going to undermine the Svara and the Shita of Rav Huna. Why is that so? V'tani Allah, we learned a Braisa to embellish the Shita of Rav Shimon, and explain and justify his distinction. Om Rav Shimon, Matam, why is it that in the case of the trees, this Charev tree and the Shikma tree, they are included in Hegdesh? He comes up with a whole new svar, not because logically and psychologically the Magdish certainly was motivated to be Magdish, the Izilanos. No. Rav Shimon is of the opinion, B'ayin Ra, even with regard to Hegdesh. But Hoyil v'yonkim mistei hegdesh. There's a brand new explanation here. And that is that we have a principle, and this is where we stopped yesterday, of gidulei hegdesh kehegdesh. Anything that grows from a field of hegdesh has the same status of hegdesh. Which, by the way, if you're interested, I'm just mentioning as a Maimar Amuzgar, is a specific application of a universal rule called Yotze. Yotze means that if A produces B, then B has the same status as A. So let's say I have a Bema Treif and it gives birth to a Vlad, or if I have a Bema Hegdesh that gives birth to a Vlad, the Vlad has the same status as its mother. It's kind of like Uber Yerech Imo kind of Svara. The exception to that rule is honey, is Dvash. And the Gemara has a long discussion in Chulin why Dvash is the exception to that rule. But be that as it may, if you have karka that belongs to Hegdesh, and the karka produces through the tree fruit, that fruit has the same identical status as the sada. So now it comes out that according to Reb Shimon, even if he wants to retain for himself the ilanos, he's got a problem. Why? Because the ilanos have the status of Gidulei Hegdesh. and Hiduli Hegdish are Hegdish. So again, I reemphasize, not that Reb Shimon is coming up with some sort of psychological analysis here. No, he wants to give magnanimously to Hegdish the Charuf tree and so forth and so on. No. Ayin Rahu Magdish, according to Reb Shimon. But there's a halachic barrier here that undermines his ownership of these trees, and that's called Gedulei Hegdesh. He wants to reap and harvest the fruits of that tree. He cannot do so because the tree has the status of what? Of Hegdesh. All this is going to undermine the logic of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that when a person is interested in retaining for himself, even in the case of Hegdesh, according to Rav Shimon, the Ilanos, then he retains for himself not only the Ilanos, but even the karka under the Ilanos. And here Reb Shimon is telling us that the reason why the Ilanos are Hegdesh is because the karka that produces the Ilanos and the fruits on the trees belongs to Hegdesh. So the Gemara says, V'isal kedatech shiurei shayer, according to you, Rav Huna, that you maintain that when a person is meshayim for himself Ilanos, it's not just the trees themselves, but the character that nourishes the trees. Because otherwise, he's going to be stuck when the trees wither away. And he's going to have to pack his trees out, pick up and pack out. Is here too, in the case of Hegdish and Reb Shimon, ki koyanki midanafshe koyanki. If Reb Shimon is of the opinion of Magdish b'ayin rahu Magdish, which means anything that's not real sada, pure sada is not included in the Hegdesh, and the Ilanos, insofar as they're very significant trees, these two trees are significant and form a separate entity. It's not included in his Das Magdish. Is therefore, he retains for himself this Magdish, not only the Ilanos, according to Rav Huna's logic, but also the karka below the Ilanos, which absolutely undermines the Svara of Rav Shimon. And the Gemara now says, Rabbi Shimon di Omar ki Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry, did I say Rav Huna? I meant to say Rav Shimon. Again, Rav Huna is of the opinion that when I'm Mishayri Lonas, I'm also Mishayri Karka. That forms an absolute contradiction to what we're seeing here in the Brice, because the Brice embellishes the Shita of Rav Shimon, Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, and Rav Shimon is of the opinion that when he's Mishayri himself, the Lonos, he's stuck. He's in a no-win situation because the Karka belongs to Hegdesh. He didn't retain for himself the Karka. And therefore, the man is in a bind. He cannot retain for himself ownership over the Ilanos, because since the karka belongs to Hegdesh, according to this logic, the Brisa says, he doesn't own the Ilanos as well, because the Ilanos take on the status of Gedulei Karka, to Gedulei Hegdesh. Because the karka below the Ilanos belongs to Hegdesh. That undermines the Shita of Rav Huna. I think that's pretty clear. Again, when I say pretty clear, this is Daf Yomi Shir Rabosai. If I was saying a blatcher on this, we'd be here for a month. I mean, the Masifta has 15 footnotes on what we just did. So I gave you just the tip of the iceberg, and only according to the Rashbam. Anyway, so the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon di Omar ki Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Shimon applies the principle of a person who retains for himself Ilanos, he gives up the karka below the Ilanos, which again contradicts Rav Huna, if you don't mind closing the door.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbi Shimon is based on the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, what Rabbi Shimon is going to do is he's going to take the principle of Ayin Yofer as it applies to Mechira, and he's going to graft it onto Hegdesh. And therefore, if it's an Ayin Yofer, the Das Magdish is to give up on the Karka below the Ilanos. Now, why does Gemara think that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva? So if you take a look in the Rashbam, he says because Rabbi Shimon is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So the logic is in the Gemara that until we know otherwise, the Talmud agrees to his Rebbe. In my experience, that's not really so. But the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students, and at the end, he was able at the end of his life to recoup some of his losses. He had five great Talmidim, amongst them was Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon is really a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. But the Gemara now has another axe to grind here, another agenda. Why does the Gemara want to assume that Rabbi Shimon, we have to understand Rabbi Shimon by introducing into the equation Rabbi Akiva, because we want to defend Rav Huna. And therefore we could say the following, for Rav Huna, the Omer Kirabana. So Rav Huna is of the opinion that Mocher B'ayin Rahu Mocher, and the logic would be, therefore, as we apply Mechira, the rules of Mechira to the case of Hegdesh, that he is what? That he is being Meshire for himself, the Karka, just as he would do in the case of Mechira. So the Gemara says, Pshita, I don't understand what Rav Huna has to tell me. I mean, there's a Kal V'chomer here. Listen to the logic. If in the case of Mechira, where a person is compelled to sell something, the logic of the Chachamim is he'll sell the barest minimum, that's called Ayin Ra. Then how much more so in the case of Magdish? Why? Because in the case of Magdish, he really wants his Ilonos. So if he wants his Ilonos, and that's what he explicitly retained, he was Meshayer, then how much more so should we apply the principle of Ayin Rahu Mocha to retain the Karka under the Ilonos, because the Ilonos depend upon the Karka. So what was Rav Huna telling me that was such a gewaldige chiddush? Says the Gemara, nafkemina di nafli hadar shasalahu. Wow. Rav Huna was going very far. Not only do we say ayin ra, and we apply that principle not just to mecher according to Chacham, but also to hegdesh. And therefore he retains for himself the karka underneath the lanos. That's one thing. That means that that Hegdesh has no right to say to the Magdish, you know, take your trees and run. Cut down your trees. But Rav Huna is telling us way beyond that. He's telling us that the Magdish retains for his rights not just on these trees, but to replace these trees when they wither away and die with a second pair of trees. That's called in the Lashon HaShas, Enoughly Hadar Shasel, who Shasel means to replant the trees. That's a Gevaldig Chiddush. It means he owns the Karka, because that's what he retains for himself. And we're applying the principle of Ayin Ra from Mecher over to Hegdesh. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Beis Omer Al. Oh, Brian, come in. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to try to prove that this could not possibly be the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, the premise of the Gemara's reconciliation between Rav Huna and Rav Shimon is that Rav Shimon holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. That cannot be accepted. Why not? Umi Matzis Mukmislei the Rabbi Shimon Kit, Rabbi Akiva, can you actually say that Rabbi Shimon is based on the principle of Rabbi Akiva, which means that in Magdish we apply the principle of Biayin Yofeh Hu Magdish, and that's why he gives up his rights to the Karka below the Ilanos. Vartanya, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Higdish Shloshi Ilanos, Mimata Asura Lebeisa. Okay, now, Rabosa, here we have to give a little bit of an introduction. There's something called a stay ilan. A stay ilan means a field of a certain size where the trees are planted in a way that they're spread out perfectly to facilitate their ability to suck up the nutrients from the field, from the ground itself, and nourish. And that's called Mata Asara Lebeis Saw. Now, a base saw is a certain size. And the size of this base saw is called 50 amma on 50 amma. Now, 50 amma by 50 amma in length and width is the equivalent of 2,500 amma in space, in area, I should say, correct? Now, he plants 10 trees. Now, if you divide 2,500 by 10, you get 250. It means that there's a radius around each tree of 250 amma. And 250 amma is enough to guarantee that the tree will flourish. That gives the status of this of this entire area of 2,500 square amos, a stay ilan. Now, a stay ilan, which means a field of trees, because it was planted in that order, has a special din, a special status as far as the laws of Hegdish are concerned. And what's the law? Hegdish es hakarka v'es ha'ilanos shebeinehem. If a person was magdish a stay ilan, in which again the natiya, the planting was 10 trees within this area, in which each one is spread out, then the halacha is that lefichach chupode beis zera chomer siorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And this is a sugya in Masechta Erechin that derives from a pasuk in Vayikrach of Zion, v'im misteach huzoso yagdish, that the trees are considered part of the karka itself. Because as we said, now the sada, the field, gets the status of a stay ilan. And once it gets the status of a stay ilan, the Torah says that all you have to do, if you want to redeem a field, okay, now, again, I don't want to get off too much on a tangent because we're very pressured for time, but there are two types of hegdish. There's one called hegdish lemizbeach, when you take an animal and you magdish it for a carbon. Such a hegdish is not subject to pidyon. You cannot redeem the hegdish. That's called kedushas haguf. That's not relevant to us today. I just mentioned it. And then there's something called kedushas damim. Right? Kedushas damim means that I was magdish something for its value. It's almost like a monetary transaction. I gave my field over to Hegdish. The field is not going to be brought on the Mizbeach. It's on an animal. And therefore what I'm giving Hegdish is the monetary value. That kind of a Hegdish is subject to pidyon. And the Torah says that if you have a stay ilan, which is mata asor lebeisa, then you take 50 shekel kesef and you poda the entire field. Now notice, the trees on the field would certainly jack up the value of the field. But the Torah says no. The trees are considered part of the field of the karka itself. And all you need is pidyon on the karka. And that pidyon on the karka is called 50 shekel.
So it doesn't matter what the value is. It's
correct. The Torah has set up a set value. It's sometimes in Erechin there's a set value. Okay then? Oh, comes along Rabbi Shimon in this price, so he adds the following. There's a restrictive rule as far as setting up what we call a stay ilan, the pidyon of which is 50 shekel kesef. And what's that? Pachos mikan, let's say he plants a tree here, and a tree here, and a tree here. In other words, they're very well spread out. You know, we gave a lot more area than...
So there's more than 250 per tree.
Correct. There's more than 250 ava per tree. Or pachos mikan, let's say, for example, he gets it really crowded. You know, he plants a lot of trees. And in all these cases, we're going to see that since it loses its status of a stay ilan, then the pidyon has to be not only on the karka, but also on the ilanos. We view the ilanos as a separate entity of Hegdesh. The ilanos are only considered part and parcel of the field in that very unique arrangement of 10 to a base saw. Not only that, and now we're getting to something that's more relevant to us, but zeh achar zeh, let's say he was magdish, not the trees as part of the field, and that's the entire field, but he was magdish only the trees, okay, one by one, bazecher zeh, in consecutive order. That too undermines the status of the sada as a stay ilan. And once you do so, each tree becomes a separate entity. So there are two ways that you undermine the status of a stay ilan, either because of the arrangement and where you planted it within that area, or number two, because instead of being magdish, eat all the ilanas together as one entity, as one stay ilan, he was magdish each tree individually. That's called bazech harzeh. And therefore, harezeh lo higdish lo hakarka, velo es ha'ilanos beinehem. Okay, ilanos beinehem is a separate discussion here. There are smaller trees, very low trees, that are considered part of the karka. But in this case, his hegdesh is on the ilanos. Lefichach, therefore, we no longer have this set amount of pigeon, which is called 50 shekel kesef, but rather kshupodeh, when he redeems his hegdesh, podes ilonos bishavem. The pigeon has to reflect and correspond to the exact monetary market value of the ilonos. Velo od, and furthermore, let's say he was magdish these ilonos bezecher zeh, elafilu higdish es ilonos, vechazar vehigdish sakarka, even if he would go in the following sequence, first, he was magdish the trees, then he was magdish the entire karka, and now you would think, well, at the end of the day, since he's magdish both the ilonos and the karka as one entity, then now at least the ilonos become part of the karka and it sets up a stay ilon. No. Kshupodeh podes ilonos bishaveim. He still has to do a pigeon, number one, on the karka as a separate entity. Number two, on the ilonos as a separate entity, depending upon what the market value of the ilonos. The ilonos can be batel to the sod if it's a stay ilon, but that's only if he's magdish the field and the ilonos simultaneously in one hagdasha. But if he was magdish the field separately and the ilonos separately, then they become, as far as Hegdish is concerned, two separate entities, and therefore the ilonos demand a pigeon in and of themselves. V'chozu pode beis zerach homer siorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And as far as the karak is concerned, then he could avail himself, and he has to avail himself, of the pigeon of 50 shekel kesef. But as far as the ilonos is concerned, he will require a separate hakdasha, a separate pigeon on the ilonos, insofar as they're a separate entity, because there was a maisak dasha on the ilonos separately. Now the Gemara is going to analyze who could possibly be the author of this brisa, Mani. E Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to tell me that this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, the brisa again is assuming that when he's magdish the ilonos that are spread out on the karka, he's magdish the ilonos as a separate entity. Right, and therefore podes ilonos bishaveim in the sefer the brisa. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, ha'amar Rabbi Akiva mocher b'ayin yafa u'mocher, that when I sell you something, I sell you all of the karka, everything together, and therefore, let's say I sell you two trees. You, the buyer, own the karka below the trees. Kolshken, how much more so in the case of Magdish, where he's not compelled and he's not pressured to be Magdish his trees. Certainly, the logic should be Ayin Yofa Hu Magdish, and therefore the Hegdish is Chal not just on the Ilonos, but also on the karka below the Ilonos. And if that be the case, then assuming the Ilonos, even though he's Magdish them one after the other, are spread out in Asara Lebesa, it should become a stay Elon. And therefore the pigeon should be 50 shekel kesef for the entire field. Are you following the logic? Let me go over it one more time. Again, even though we're pressed for time, but if you don't have this, anything we say in the next, if we could squeeze it into 15 minutes, I don't know, is going to be batel u'mevutal. It's going to be wasted time. The logic of the Gemara is that there's a kolshken over here from mecher to hegdish. And when a person retains for himself within the context of a sale, and how much more so within the context of the Hegdesh, Ilanos, Rabbi Akiva would say, Ilanos, yes, but Karka, no. Correct? He wants to retain the Ilanos, but not the Karka. So if he's being Magdish the Ilanos, he's not retaining for himself, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Karka below the Ilanos.
He doesn't apply the rule that he wants.
And therefore the Hegdesh will certainly include even the Karka. I know if he's being Magdish Ilanos, he's being Magdish Karka, we're back to stay Ilan. Why does the Brisa, if it's Rabbi Akiva, limit his pigeon to a separate pigeon on Ilanos, being Mafkia and negating the concept of stay Ilan, and a separate pigeon on the Karka? The Ira Bonon, and if you're going to argue that this price is authored by the Chachamim, Ha'amri, Mocher Hu, to be Ayin Ro, Mocher, Hol Magdish, be Ayin Yofa Magdish. We had it now in Mishnah, back on Daf Ayin Aleph, that the Chachamim agree, remember there were four exceptions, four categories, which even the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Akiva, that be Ayin Yofa, one of them was Hegdish. So if we're back to Ayin Yofa, then we're in trouble here, because then he gave over to Hegdesh he gave over to Hegdesh the Karka, not just the Ilanos. And if that be the case, when he was Magdish Ilanos, he was automatically Magdish the Karka below the Ilanos. If that be the case, it's a stay Ilan and 50 shekel kes would be suffice. El Pshita, by process of elimination, if it's not Rabbi Akiva, if it's not Chachamim, Rabbi Shimoni, it must be Rabbi Shimon, who was willing to say that although Hegdesh is the same as Mecher with regard to Bar, etc., meaning that Ayin Rahu Magdish, but with regard to Shnei Ilanos, he was not, the Brisa wants to establish that Rabbi Shimon is saying that he's not Magdish the Karka, he was not Magdish the Karka, is then Rabbi Shimon, I'll leave it to man. Rabbi Shimon doesn't work out neither with Chachomim nor with Rabbi Akiva, because I alib de Rabbi Akiva ha'amar mocher bi ayin yofa mocher v'kolshkein magdish, which that would mean that when he's magdish the Ilanos, he was magdish the karka below the Ilanos as well. And if that be the case, it's a stay Ilan el apshita aliba de Rabbanan. Then we're going to have to say that Rabbi Shimon is holding like the Rabbanan, that mocher be ayin rahu mocher, and the Rabbanim themselves would hold that when a person is magdish, we agree that he's magdish by ayin yofer, because of Reb Shimon, no, he takes the equation between mechira and hegdish to its complete goal, and everything is included in that equation. Ki hechi, in the same way, the mocher in a person sells be ayin rah mocher, is magdish nami, be ayin rah magdish, umeshayer ara, which means he leaves for himself the karka. And if he leaves for himself the karka, now we can explain why Rabbi Shimon in the Sefer of the Mishnah says that he has to be poda the ilanos bishav yehem. And the reason for that is because the ilanos become a separate hakdosha, independent of the karka, because according to Rabbi Shimon, be ayin rahu magdish, and he wants to retain for himself not just the ilanos, but also, that when he's magdish the Ilanos, my mistake, when he's Magdish the Ilanos, he's Magdish only the Ilanos. He's not willing to be magnanimous and give Hegdesh the Karka below the Ilanos. So since he retains for himself the Karka below the Ilanos, now we separate the Ilanos from the Karka. There's two separate Hakadoshos. So even if later he is Magdish the Karka, it's not a stay Ilan. And if this be the case, we can prove from the Brisa that the Brisa is certainly not the way we wanted to say it before, like Rabbi Akiva, because this Brisa Reb Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva always says B'ayin Yofa, and how much more so in the case of Hegdesh. So now we're really back in the hot seat with Akasha on Rav Huna, because here Rabbi Shimon is telling us that when he was Magdish the charov, the carob tree, the shikma, the sycamore tree, that are nourishing themselves from the karka, then he's magdish only the trees and not the karka. And wait a second, Rav Huda was of the opinion that when you say, according to Rav Akiva, that he's magdish be ayin yofahu magdish, well, that's not going to work out, because this brisa proves, as we established, Rav Shimon cannot accept Rabbi Akiva of Ayin Yofa. So now, how could Rav Huna, this is the Gemara's Kasha, let's just repeat the Gemara's Kasha, how could Rav Huna maintain that when a person sells Ilanos, he leaves for himself even the karka of the Ilanos, which what? Which means that he's allowed to replace these Ilanos when they wither and die with other Ilanos, because he retained ownership over the karka below the Ilanos. That was the Shita Rav Huna. We're now in trouble, because when we look at this Shita of Rabbi Shimon, Rav Shimon is equating Magdish with Mocher, and he's saying that just like in the case of Mocher, he retains for himself the karka below the Ilanos, the same rule applies to being Magdish Ilanos, that he's what? He's retaining for himself the karka under the Ilanos. So he says the following, I'm just going to read to you the note here in the name of the Rashbam. He says, Hare Lefit Varv, according to Rav Huna, Nimtzes Rav Shimon, Amidam, and Magdish Lemocher, Sovisha Af, Hamagdish Mishayer Li Atzmo Ilanos is Mishayer Imoim Esakarka Yenikosam. Certainly, according to the logic of Rav Huna, and how much more so in the case of Hegdesh, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that he retains for himself the karka, because again, we have the svara of Lakhushe Ara, that certainly he wants to retain for himself the karka, so he has rights to replant the ilanos. Nu, if that be the case, Madua Amar Rav Shimon, why does Rav Shimon say in the case of Chora Vishikma, Sheshir Yom Kimikarka Shal Hegdesh, that the reason why the Chorav and the Shikma go to the Hegdesh is because that's called Gidulei Hegdesh. Why is it Gidulei Hegdesh? Because these trees are nourished by the field of Hegdesh. Why is it the field of Hegdesh? According to Rav Huna, it doesn't belong to Hegdesh, because even Rabbi Kiv would agree that once he's Meshayer for himself, Ilanos, he's Meshayer also the karka below the Ilanos. Now we turn to Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis Viela Kasha. Now we have a stira, says the Gemara. Not only to Rav Huna, but we have an inner conflict even within Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because the Brisa here reflects, as we said, by approximation, the Shita of Rav Shimon, and therefore when he's Magdish to Ilanos Bazecher Zeh, or Shlosh Ilanos Bazecher Zeh, he's not Magdish the Karka below them, right? It's a separate Hakdosha. And if that be the case, well, what about the price that we started with on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis? Rav Shimon there is quoted explicitly as saying that when a person is Magdish, he leaves over not only the Charuv and the Shik. I'm sorry. That Rav Shimon says that if he excludes from the Hegdesh Charuv and Shikma, is whole Vion Kim Mistei Hegdesh, it would seem that he's not Meshayer the Karka below them, and it means that the Ayin Yofu Magdish. So again, we have a stira now in Rav Shimon. The last brisa, which says Podim Esilonos Bishaveim assumes that he was Magdish the Ilanos, but not the Karka below the Ilanos. But the first brisa we said that he was Magdish the Karka, and he was Magdish the Karka. That's why the Ilanos have a status of Gidulei Hegdesh. Ella says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon. We have to come up with a new explanation of Rav Shimon, and this new explanation of Rav Shimon will presumably reconcile the two statements of Rav Shimon in the two respective brises, and not only that, it'll answer the kasha on Rav Huna, and that is Ella Rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon in the first brisa, who says that when a person is magdish the charov and the shikma, he's only magdish the charov and the shikma, but he leaves for himself. He leaves for himself the karka below. That's l'divrayim derabbanan ka'amar lahu. He was only talking to the chachamim. L'didi, according to my logic, ki hechi democher b'ayin ra mocher is magdish nami b'ayin ra magdish v'shiure mishayer. That if he's magdish something, he leaves for himself the maximum, and that is the way Rav Shimon understands it. Not only in the case of Mocher does he leave himself the maximum, and he wants to hold on to the karka below, but even in the case of Magdish, he wants to hold on to the karka below, and therefore when he's Magdish the Ilanos, there's a separate Hakdoshan too. But L'didchu, nevertheless, according to your logic, Chachamim, Odu Limia, at least you should admit to me that Delo Higdish Ella Charuv Hamurkov Visadan Hashikma. Since you, the Chachamim, assume that Ayin Yofeh, in the case of Hegdesh, and here even the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Kiva that there's an Ayin Yofeh, notice he's not going to be Meshayer himself the Karka. If that be the case, then the trees are being Yonek, they're sucking up the nutrients from a Karka that belongs to Hegdesh. And in that case, you should be moded to me that such a tree now belongs to Hegdesh insofar as it's Gidulei Hegdesh. Here the Rashbam. How many minutes do we have? Like 1 minute left. Okay, we'll try to just get up, because again, this, if we get this last line, then we have the sugya. He says, "Avol ein lo v'she'eino yafa yosef midai." He says, Reb Shimon argues to the Chacham, you have to limit this ayin yafa in the case of Hegdesh, correct, and say that he wasn't magdish in the Hegdesh of his field, even bar, gat, and shovot. That's not, those items are not included in the field, because he only wants to be magdish that which he was magdish, not beyond that. Why do you hold that ayin yafa is so great that it includes in it the bar and the gas? Meaning, you have to admit to me that if ayin yafa should be applied, you know, you could apply it in a limited way, but don't apply it straight across the board, even to bar and gas. The Amri le Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, lo shna, that we're willing to take this principle of ayin yafa as it applies to Hegdesh, the exception to the rule, to its logical extreme. And therefore, we're going to apply it not only to the bar and the gas, but also to the charuv and shikma. And therefore, the Rabbanan were not impressed by the logic of Reb Shimon. Because according to the logic of the Rabbanan, a person who's magdish, he's magdish b'ayin yafa, just like a person who gives a gift. And therefore, he's magdish everything in the sada, even things like the bar and the dus that aren't shayach to the sada. Okay, Rabosai? So now let's just try to review the last teretz of the Gemara. The Gemara is trying to make sense out of Rav Shimon in such a way that it shouldn't be a stira to Rav Huna. And the answer is that what Rav Shimon is quoted as saying in the original Brisa, that he wasn't magdish when he gave his field to Hegdish, he wasn't magdish anything in the field except for charov and shikma, he didn't mean to say that that is his shita, that that's actually his opinion, but l'divrayim d'rabbanan ka'amalahu. He was saying that according to the Rabbanan, who argue with him. And he was trying to say that the chachavim, this is the din that according to your logic you should accept. Meaning you're going too far in applying the principle of magdish the ayin yafa hu magdish. L'didi, according to me, ki hechi de mocher b'ayin ra mocher magdish nami b'ayin ra magdish v'shiri mishayer. My shita, says Reb Shimon, is that when a person is magdish, whatever he leaves for himself includes anything that he can get benefit from. And therefore I'm going to say that he wasn't magdish any entity that's not sada mamish. For example, charuv v'shikma is not included in his hegdesh, and he certainly leaves for himself. And if he leaves it for himself, he wants to leave for himself the karka that's underneath the ilanos. And therefore, if he was magdish the field, but he left for himself the ilanos, then the ilanos become a separate entity. Shelo lo higdish es charuv v'shikma. He wasn't magdish the charuv v'shikma. That's not included in the hegdesh. And not only that, he wasn't even magdish the karka below the ilanos. And here we see that Reb Shimon reflects the svara of Rav Huna, that a person wants to be guarantee himself that not only will he have these ilanos for himself, but he'll be able to replace them when time comes along. And he's only got those rights if he retains for himself the karka. And Rav Huna said that even Rabbi Akiva would agree that when a person's Mishayer Ilanos, he's Mishayer the karka below the Ilanos. And that, of course, means that when he was Magdish Ilanos, he wasn't Magdish the Sada, and that sets up two different Hegdeshos. And that's why Podim Es HaIlanos B'Shavyeim, according to the Brice of Rav Shimon. So there's no theory in Rav Shimon. But that which Rav Shimon said in the Brais on Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, that if he was Mishayah Charov V'Shikma Liatzmo, then they become Kedoshim, and based on the fact that it's Gidulei Hegdesh, that was the Sfarah that we said before, Hol V'Yon Kim Yistei Hegdesh, so it means that he gave to Hegdesh the Karka,
and this tree is now a product of the karka, so that's going to be a statement lididchu, according to your logic, the chachamim, that a magdish be ein yofu magdish. What are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that he was magdish not only the Elon but the karka under the Elon, which would mean that he's completely removing himself from any ownership rights on the Elonos. Oduli miyas the lohigdish elo charuv amurkov esadin hashikma. And even if you want to apply the principle of Ayin Yofa to Hegdesh, so what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that he was Magdish the Karka, therefore the Ilonos are Yonke Mishal Hegdesh, and by definition, therefore, the Chorov and the Murkov, the Chorov HaMurkov and the Sadna Shikma are included in the Hegdesh. Okay, you want to go with that logic? I would never accept such logic. And when I said that whole Vion can be stay Hegdish in the Braisa, that he, even though he retains the ownership on the Charuv v'Shikma, he's going to lose that to Hegdish. I didn't say it Lishitasi. My sheet is that no, he's going to be Magdish the Ilanos. I'm sorry, he's going to retain and be Mishar the Ilanos and the Karka below the Ilanos. That's going to be my sheet. But when he was attacking the Chachamim, he was saying, okay, you want to go as far as to say that as far as Charov v'Shikma, they become Kedoshim, because Ayin Yofa hu Magdish, and therefore even the Karka below it, but Oduli Mios, but at least admit to me in the case Hegdesh, although it includes the Charov and the Sadin, but it doesn't go as far as to include under the law of Ayin Yofa hu Magdish, the bar, the dus, the bar, the gas, and the shovach. That certainly is not considered b'chlal hasod. He didn't want to be magdish more than what he was magdish. And even if you're going to say b'ayin yofu magdish, he was only magdish the soda. You want to say that the soda even includes the karka below it, and therefore below the ilonos, and therefore the ilonos now get the status of hol v'yon k'mistei hegdish, but at least be moded to me as far as the other objects that he didn't include in the hakdosha sasada, so he's magdish the soda, but not bor, gas, and shovach, which are not soda. And the amri le rabbonon, and the rabbonon responded, no, that I'm going to take this rule of ayin yofa hu magdish, and I'm going to apply it straight across the board. And it's going to have the same status as Matana. Just like in the case of Matana, the gift includes even the bar and the gas and the shovach, so too the Hegdesh also includes the bar, the gas, and the shovach. So it comes out according to this answer, we can come back and interpret Rav Huna based on the original Svar that the Gemara often adaf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, that when a person sells a field and he retains for himself two ilonos, then he retains for himself the karka as well, such that he can now replace that ilon when it withers away with another ilon. And that's true even according to Rabbi Akiva. Because now we're explaining that Rabbi Shimon himself holds that a magdish is magdish b'ayin raw magdish, and when he leaves for himself karka, when he leaves for himself ilonos, he's also leaving for himself the karka. And therefore the Charuv and the Shikma are not Yonik Mistei Hegdesh. And therefore there's a separate Akdosh on the Ilonos, and he'll have to be Magdish the Karka under a separate Akdosh, and that justifies why Rabbi Shimon holds that Podim as a Ilonos Bishavyehem. And we no longer have a need to interpret Rabbi Shimon as based on Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe and Rav Huna going according to the Rabbanon. That's not necessary anymore. Now Rav Huna could go like both Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Shimon becomes a very consistent shita unto himself, and everything fits into place. Then the Gemara is going to ask, but my Ukimtala, ki Rabbi Shimon, if you're going to tell me that the din of the Reisha of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, and a magdish shnei ilonos, so shlosh ilonos bezecher, zeh lo higdish sakarka, is then ema seifa v'lo od ela afilu higdish es ha'ilonos, v'choz of a higdish es ha'karka, k'shu poda podas ilonos b'shaveim, v'chozer upoda beis zerach homer sa'orin b'chamishim shekel kesef,
meaning if he was Magdish the Lonos first and the Karka second, not simultaneously, they become two different Maiseg Veshos, and each one requires its own separate Pidyon, now we have a problem. E Rabbi Shimon, if this Brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, is Lazel Basar Pidyon Vinifriku Agav Arayhu. There's a halacha of Shas Pidyon, and the Shas Pidyon is going to determine the relationship between the Karka and the Ilanos, and that's going to set up a din of Stei Ilan Vinifriku Agav Ari, and all he has to do is be poda it with 50 sela, shekel sela. Why? Because now we see Bishas Pidyon that both the Ilanos and the Karka are one entity. Dashamin and Lay. Now we're going to prove from a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon, the Azil Basar Pidyon, that the final determining factor is the moment of Pidyon. So Bli Neder will pick up the Sanya in the next Shia. And the Braisa is going to prove that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Shas Pidyon is Kovea, whether it's a Stei Ilan or not, and how he goes about being Poda the Stei Ilan.